Hi Hope Singapore and Hi Hope Global. A warm welcome to everyone who is joining us in Church Online this weekend. We welcome you. Some of you who are new with us here today, we warmly welcome you. If you're new, again, you know, you can type into the group chat, N-E-W, new, and our online ministers and leaders would love to get in touch with you. Those of you from Singapore, it has been a very eventful week this week. With all the things that you have been hearing on the news and with the COVID situation that's happening in Singapore. You know, COVID cases spiking to a new high. Countless clusters forming until you lose count. New restrictions, measures to adhere to, adjustments to many of our lives. And some of you, you are being greatly impacted in some way or another. And we also have heard this week about the murder case in River Valley High. I think it has been a really tough and challenging week looking at the news and all these things. I feel a lot. I've been going to God a lot. And I just want to lead us before we go on to the Word of God today to take some time as a whole church, as a whole nation, look to God together and to seek His face and to pray together. Shall we do that together? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God, in such a situation that our nation is in, we look to you. We look to your grace. We look to your mercy, O God. We want to pray for the COVID situation in Singapore. I pray, O God, that you continue to give wisdom to the government on how to manage the whole situation and to lead us well. And I want to pray for those of us who are affected, whether they are watching on screen or in our nation. They could be the F&B owners. They can be in various business that has been affected in this time. I pray, O God, that you will send believers near to them, that this will be a chance for the church to reach them and love them, and also they will find ways to tie through this season, O God. Father, I pray for the situation here, that the cases and the clusters will begin to decrease and things will get better in due time, O God. And I pray especially, O God, for River Valley High and for the students and the people there. I pray for your grace to be there and the people of yours to stand up and to be able to show your love, your peace and comfort in this time, O God. We want to commit all the things that's happening in our church, in our lives, in around the nation, into your very hands. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 So thanks for joining us here today. We want to continue to look to God and encourage you to continue to stay in prayer. Let me show you a picture here. There are four pictures of a church, or rather, four pictures that we commonly think and know and liken with the church. So two of them are cultural. Two of them are from the Bible. The church as a building. Some of us might think the church as an organization, like an institution, but the Bible describes church like a family, the church more like a body of Christ. So these two, kind of like today, we want to, these 2 weeks, last week and this week, last week was Pastor Tim preaching, and this week is myself, we're here to explore what it means, what it means to be the church as a family and as a body of Christ. You see, the church started not by men, but it started in the book of Acts when there was a group of people who give their lives to follow Jesus because they are truly transformed by the good news of the resurrection. Their lives were totally different. The way they live, the way they act is very different because they carry a certain kingdom culture. People around could recognize the church, not because of the cross they carry, not because they are going to a building or a place, but because of the very lives that they display. And it makes me think today, can the world around us, can our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, can they recognize the church through our very lives? Today, we are here to talk about what it means to be the church. And last week, we learned that the church is our spiritual family. We stick together because God has placed us in this spiritual family. We are greatly inspired by the Hall of Fame in our church, and where there are some of them who have been in church for decades, and they share their reason of why they are in Hope. We thank you for sharing your reason, and we really thank God for these people, and I believe that there are many more of you that will come in future to pass on your experience and your passion from one generation to the next generation. This week, we want to look at the church as the body of Christ. The church as the body of Christ. What does it mean for the church to be the body of Christ? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. And let's read this out together, wherever you are, I think you can. Let's read this together with me on the screen. And let's not just be passive and watching. You can join me, be active. And let's read this out together. Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. For if your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." The background of the book of Romans is this. The book of Romans was written to a group, to a church in Rome. It is made up of majority Gentiles and minority Jews. There was some kind of like a tension that's happening between these two groups of them. And one of this tension, one of this problem that they are facing is regard to the using of spiritual gifts. In chapter 1 to 11, Paul was presenting the good news of Jesus, the gospel, what we know as the gospel. And in chapter 1 to 11, if you do not know what the good news of Jesus is, if you do not know the gospel, it is great that you can take this first 11 chapter to do a deep dive, to understand it. And I really believe it can change the way you understand what Jesus has done for us. And then in the next 5 chapters, he was telling the people how they should live in the light of what Jesus has done for them. And then now we come to here when in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8, Paul begins to address on the issue on how they should be using their spiritual gifts. So the title of today's sermon is "The Church as the Body of Christ." What does it mean for the church to be a body? What does it mean for the church to be a body? Firstly, to acknowledge our need for one another. Acknowledge our need for one another. In verse 3 to 5, we can see that it is common sometimes for some of us that in our pride, in our ego, or we think that maybe we have certain spiritual gifts, we think too highly of ourselves. Paul teaches us here in this passage of a mindset to have, that we need to have in relation to the gifts that we have, the gifts that we possess. Verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you," he's saying to the church, "do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Paul is speaking and teaching us of this mindset that we need to have, a way of thinking, this mindset of sober judgment, to think of ourselves in an honest and objective way, not in a way to inflate ourselves, nor in a way to put down ourselves, where, what we are, who we are, objectively and honestly. And how do we do that? And because he further elaborates that in a way, in accordance, in a way that conforms to the faith that God has distributed to each of us. You see, the spiritual gifts that we have, we possess them by faith. It is not by ourselves that we have these gifts, but by faith we believe that God has given us this gift. And similarly, by faith, we exercise these gifts to serve Him. It is not because of our own effort, not just because of our own diligence or our brightness that we're able to exercise this gift. It is by faith that we exercise, we depend on God to exercise these gifts. So, In no way, we are able to boast. We are able to become proud of what we have because we know this do not come from ourselves. So being sober-minded is to recognize that these gifts are from God and all of us need to depend on Him to exercise them effectively. Paul then uses this illustration of a body to show us that as we think of ourselves soberly, we begin to see that we need each other in our life. We begin to recognize and acknowledge our need for each other because, you know, hey, I can't do it by myself. I know that I am limited because God has only given me this and I need other people together as one body. Let's go on in verse 4. For just as each of us have one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. Our body parts are unique and have different function. Your eye is different from your ear. Your ear is different from the nose. Your hands are able to grab things. Your feet can't. Your feet have thicker feet, which can help when you walk around. But of course, some ladies go and pedicure their feet to make it smooth and not thick, right? But each of our body parts have different function. So it's the same. Every one of us, we have different spiritual gifts. Every one of us, we have different personality, different background, we have different character that it makes no two person the same. And in verse 5, it says, so in Christ, we, though we are many, we together, we form one body. Though we are all different, we have to remember this. We cannot let our difference divide us. We have to remember that we are united in Christ as one. Just as one body serve that work together, all of us, we work together to fulfill and serve a common goal and a common purpose. In verse 5, Paul further elaborates. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So as a part of the body, as one body part, as a part of the body, you are made to serve one another. You are made to serve the body. Your spiritual gift, the spiritual gift that God has given you, is not meant to fulfill your goal, to fulfill, to meet your needs. It is meant to meet the needs of the body. We are all different, but united as one, made to serve one another and made to need one another. We need one another. Isn't that beautiful? God's design for the church is that we live as interdependent body parts. Interdependent body parts, serving and helping one another. That's why we need to acknowledge our need for one another. Let me give you a really quick illustration. You look at this passage here. Do you see something amiss here? I'm sure you can, right? Can you make out what is missing here? What is happening here? You're right. I think some of you know and you're putting into the chat, right? The letter E has gone haywire. In a typewriter, in the keyboard, this letter E has gone haywire. Every letter in the keyboard is important for the keyboard to function fully. And every one of us, we are important to the body. For the church to reach its fullest potential, for the body to function effectively, every one of us got to step up, got to contribute, got to use our spiritual giftings. You see, in the past 1 year, 1 year plus, I think we have been in and out of, like, you know, coming to church physically and doing church online. And our understanding of the church has shifted, has kind of like a change, and we might be uncertain what really the church is about. Last time we used to think of church in this way. It's a physical gathering, a bunch of people, we share life, we do life together, we can see each other, we can have fun together. But now it is like this. Everyone in their own boxes. You know, and we are trying to communicate, trying to see one another, trying to understand each other in this Zoom setting. We thank God for Zoom and online church. It gives us the access to be able to connect to each other. And it also gives us this platform right now where we are in this phase 2 heightened alert, where every one of us can still connect together as one church. Even you're at your screen, wherever you are, but you know, I know you're there, connecting with each other, trying to listen to the word, trying to focus with all the kids around. We thank God that online church give us such a privilege. However, there are many limitations that we are experiencing, rather, or I have observed and seen. online Zoom LG has enabled us to stay connected, to continue the discussions and the sharing. But when you look at the live groups, when you just take some time to observe the live groups that you are in right now, do we see our live groups meeting each other's needs? Is our live group really doing live together? I find that this part is really being limited. The part of sensing one another's needs, the part of really going the extra mile to meet someone's needs, to understand, to hear, to talk and connect deeply with one another. You know, some groups are doing better, but I know some groups you are struggling because your online Zoom LG is just very functional. It's just very like, it is just another event that you attend, all right, you know, but you don't feel the connection and the engagement. And I fear that this COVID season has created a greater isolation, a greater resistance for some of us for deeper, more intimate relationship. You know, people are very used to doing our own things, living our own lives. And some of you are just enjoying this moment where, oh, you know, I can be in my own space, enjoying my me space. And we might get that impression that Christian life, that Christian growth, it is more about just consuming good content. Maybe you have some questions, you can easily Google, find some preachers on YouTube and just get your answers in. And I'm afraid that this post-COVID world, this post-COVID faith becomes more independent, more me-centered faith, rather than one that is community-based. That is what the Bible has described it to be. Just like how a body needs every part to function for each other. Today is a great reminder through this illustration of a body that we need each other in our lives. Can you help me? Just go to your live group chat and then just tell one another, hey, I need you. And then after that, put it down and say and reply, you need me. Come on, let's do that, you know. Yeah, really, precisely. You know, during this season, the last few weeks, there's some, in the last couple of months, or rather, when at home, Gwen and I are facing some challenges at home with the kids. You know, parenting has both its joys and the pains. And there are times that, you know, we face, and this last few months, Gwen and I, we face something that we have never faced before. I am quite lost, I'm quite confused, and I'm unsure what to do next. I can't really share in much detail of what really is happening that's really affecting. And there was a temptation for me that, hey, when all these things happen, that, hey, you know, I guess, okay, just keep it to myself. And maybe what's common now, right, just go online and Google it and find answers and look around and just manage and struggle by ourselves, you know, Google for an answer. But I know there's a community that I can reach out to. So, and this happens like before the conference where, wow, you know, a lot of us have many things to do, many things to prepare. And I was thinking, hey, maybe I shouldn't bother Pastor Jeff and all these things. So what happened is that I make a stand. We talked to Gwen and said, hey, we got to really reach out to people. So once conference ended, I texted Pastor Daniel and said, hey, Pastor Daniel, can we talk about it? So a few weeks ago, when I was serving backstage and Pastor Daniel was there, I said, hey, I need some time with you. And I talked to him, I shared with him. It was it's like a weight off my heart. It's like, wow, I can talk about this. And I talked to Pastor Jeff about it. And, you know, there are many other, our marriage mentor and certain parents around us that can lend us their experience and to share with us what they have tried and what they have do. And I really, really thank God for this group of people. And I thank God that I am not alone in this. You know, maybe some of you here, maybe there are various issues that you might be going through, either at home, in your workplace, in your own personal life. I want to let you know that you can reach out to someone around you. You can reach out to your life group. You need not struggle alone. Even though your life group does not meet physically as often, you can say, hey, I really need some time. Can I go to your house? Can we talk about things? Can we at least Zoom and talk about it? I'm sure they will do it. And for some of us, it is a great opportunity for you to serve, to help someone, to reach out to your life group members, to look around your life group and say, hey, Maybe I'm hearing this brother and this sister who is struggling some things. Maybe they share this prayer request. Maybe he doesn't look so good on Zoom. Maybe I should connect to this person. Maybe some of you can reach out to someone who is spiritually younger and be able to help this person to mature, to grow, to build up the person's faith. This is the kind of church that the Bible has described for us. You know, I can also anticipate certain problems that might come in months to come. There might be some resistance from some of us in terms of coming back to physical church meetup, like in our churches, in our centers. Maybe because some of you who are not vaccinated, you feel that there is no point in coming. Maybe some of you who are very comfortable, you feel that, hey, I'm just okay with just staying home, and maybe that's okay for me. I don't need to come out. I can just Zoom in to service. It's the same, you see. I don't want you to miss out on the kind of church life that God has designed for every one of us to experience. Because church is really about doing life together. That independence to one another. It is more than just zooming in, coming online, sharing something, and then saying bye-bye. But we are constantly looking out for one another, meeting one another's needs, serving one another, and allowing people into our lives. That is how the church should be as a body. So I hope that as the months go by, let's continue to do church as what the Bible has described for every one of us. Let's make our life group work. Let's acknowledge our need for one another. And the second thing, that what it means for the church to be the body of Christ, to exercise our gifts to serve one another. Exercise our gifts to serve one another. In verse 6 to 8, so now that you understand that we are one body, many parts, the scripture also tells us that each part, every one of us, we are gifted to serve the body. And right, I want to use the New American Standard Bible, which is the NASB translation, to bring out the points clearer. In the NASB, it reads this way. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So when you look at this verse here, there are three observations that we can make about the spiritual gifts that we have. Number one, all believers have spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us that every one of us have a spiritual gift. You might not feel so, you might not think so, you might not know what your gift is, but because you are part of the body of Christ, you have a spiritual gift. So tell someone in your live group, put it in the group chat, you have spiritual gifts. Tell them that. And the second thing is this, each of us have a different gift, a different kind of gift, to be able to fulfill different function in the body. Even two persons who have the same spiritual gifts might not exercise it and use it the same way because we have different experiences, we have different personality, we are from different background and culture, we might use it differently as well. And all these gifts, number three, is not from ourselves, but is given by His grace. By His grace, God gives to everyone as He deems fit in His wisdom. They are spiritual gifts given to us for the body. So what are we to do with all these spiritual gifts that we have? The main point here, if you look at verse 6 again, that I highlight down there, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And is to exercise them accordingly. You see, when we come to a passage like this, right, and oftentimes when I talk to many people, the many Christians' first question is to ask, so, what is my gift? What gift do I have? Or rather, how do I know what is my spiritual gift? The Bible doesn't specifically tell us how we can discover our gifts and how we can know our gifts. But the Bible tells us and make it very clear that we have gifts and we need to use these gifts. We need to be active in using them to serve the body. In other words, the scripture is telling us, hey, as a Christian, you have a gift. And don't be dormant. Don't just noir as a Christian. Stay where you are and enjoy your own relationship with God, doing your own thing. But hey, be active in serving the body. The body of Christ needs you, and you needs the body. We all need each other, because it is by serving God, it is as we are active in meeting one another's need, that's how we can discover and identify and understand the gifts that we have. You see, it is by serving the community, by being involved in the ministry, by making disciples, by reaching the lost, by being involved in missions, by loving a diverse range of people, by getting involved in the kingdom of God, by getting involved in the body, that our spiritual gifts become more and more obvious to every one of us. It becomes obvious to us, and it also becomes obvious to the people around us. As you are actively serving God, the Holy Spirit empowers you, and you will begin to realize that, hey, there's certain things that I do. It is like more natural. It is easier. It is more effective. When we serve together, the community around us can identify and is able to identify, wow, Christine, wow, that day you shared this word in the live group, and as you prayed for me, I felt so encouraged. And as you shared the word, it really, really encourages me a lot. And I think that this could be your spiritual gift to pray. Maybe you should join the intercession ministry. Hey, Jeff, wow, when you spoke to the live group, when you challenge them and you get everyone together, and you are able to influence everyone and move them into God's purposes and move them to do things for God together. Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Maybe one day you can be a pastor. The community can help us in that. So a good starting question is this. Ask ourselves this question. What are the needs around us? What are the needs around us? In our life group, in our church, when we see that, when we identify that, it doesn't need a spiritual gift to be able to meet a need. When we see someone in financial need, you don't need a gift of giving to give to the person. When you are a leader and you have to teach God's word, you diligently prepare to your best and you teach it to your best. You might not have the gift of teaching, but you just teach and do God's work. So we first avail ourselves to meet the needs, and then we depend on God to empower us to accomplish the task. Amen. How wonderful is that? We first avail ourselves to meet the needs, and we say, God, help me, empower me. And God empowers us with the gifts that we need in order to accomplish the task that He calls us to. So look around our life groups, look around our centers, look around the church in various ministry. Do we see needs that you can meet? Do we see things that you can do? I remember that, just shared a bit of my journey. I remember that when I was younger, my parents signed me up for a storytelling competition. And I came in last in the storytelling competition. I remember it was a very terrifying experience. I went on the stage, there were so many people looking at me. I was still quite young. I can't remember how old was it, but the memory is so vivid to today. Even I'm standing right here preaching to nobody on stage, you know. And I remember I went on stage, it was a lot of people. I froze. I blank out. And I said the first line of the story. I said the last line. And I walk out. And they clap for me, you know. So I think they clap. I don't know why they clap for me, but I remember that they clapping for me. But as I walk out, I was crying. And later on in my years, in my days of growing up, this scarred me. This caused me to have a lot of fear in speaking to people and being on in front of class, to talk to the people in class, to stand up to do class presentation. I was always very like fearful that my heart would race whenever I do that. And until I come to church, and my leader asked me to be a leader. And part of being a leader is to talk to people and to teach God's word. And somehow as I do it, God empowers. And never in my wildest imagination that I could be here preaching God's word and sharing and talking. And there's a whole journey that I've been through, and I know this is never from a place of strength, but it's from a place of weakness that God empowers me to do it. So as you meet the needs, God will empower you with His gift. That's why in our spiritual, in our discipleship journey, where we call in our ABCD Grow discipleship journey, we want people to take the next step from step A to B to C to D. And step C is about contributing to the kingdom by serving the life group or serving in the church ministry. All of us can do something. Some of you here, you are not in any church ministry yet. Some of you, you are not actively contributing in your life group yet. I want to encourage you to do that. You can be part of a church ministry. You can discover your spiritual giftings by getting involved in the kingdom of God. God has gifted you. So there's this slide, there's this QR code that you can scan, and just take some time, just scan it, and you can sign up for the ministries. And I think when the services resume, we need a lot more people in the various centers, and maybe there are new roles to be involved, to get you be involved in. God longs to reveal to you what He can do in you and through you. Let's look at the passage again. In verse 6, it says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." Paul is encouraging us to exercise our spiritual gifts. And he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, "If your gift is this, then use it, then do it, then be active, be enthusiastic in using the gift." So over here, Paul clearly states different spiritual gifts in specific. Although it's not an exhaustive list, because in the other parts of the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are other gifts that's being mentioned. But he's not just talking about random abilities and random gifts, but specific spiritual giftings that the Holy Spirit has given to people. So each of us, it is important that we can start serving when we do not know your spiritual gifts. But it is also important to discover and know our spiritual gifts as you serve. Do you hear that? Let me repeat that. Each of us have a spiritual gift, and we need to discover and understand what these gifts are so that we can better serve the body in a more effective way. Because humanly speaking, our time, our energy, our resources are limited. And when we know our spiritual gifts, we can be active in devoting ourselves to certain ministry, to certain work that we can be more effective in, to be able to expand and extend the kingdom of God. And let me give you this simple illustration. A few years ago, my wife broke her Achilles tendon while leading praise and worship during the church conference. She was jumping and leading with all her might using her spiritual gift, and then snapped, just like a rubber band, her Achilles tendon snapped. And it was a very painful ordeal, and she had to go through a surgery to patch up the Achilles tendon, and after that, she was on cast for a couple of months. And during then, she has to rely on the crutches to help her to move around. So her arms was generally weaker, and she had a hard time to move around. But along the way, I mean, she got used to it, but it was still very tough for her. Of course, I told her that, "Hey, maybe the cast was very heavy, right? That's why it's very hard for you." But my point is this: your arms are not meant for walking. But when the need arises, when the occasion arises, our arms can help us to walk. And even though our arms are not as strong, our arms can grow to do that. Was it effective? No. But can it work? Yes. But if you are the part of the body, you are the leg, and you do not know that you are the leg, you do not know that your role is to carry the body, to walk around, to bring the body, to run, you will not be able to function in that. So knowing your spiritual gifting is like knowing which part of the body you are supposed to function. In God's grace and wisdom, He has gifted each of us to function in different way, to be able to meet the different parts of the body needs, and to be able to serve the kingdom in various ways effectively. So if you know that you have the gift of teaching, you can continue to develop in this and teach and use it to teach people, to teach the word and learn the word and be able to use it to build up the church in this area. If your gift is able, you're able to sing, able to play instrument, you could join, be part of the worship ministry and be able to contribute in that area specifically. We, and together as a body, we can meet the various needs of the church. So some of us who have been serving God for a long time and you've been in the ministry for a long time, I'd encourage you to take some time to reflect on the various experience, the various ministry that you have been through. Maybe there are certain spiritual giftings that are evident in your life that you could continue to develop in those areas and serve the church in those areas. But at the same time, keep our hearts soft and step up to meet any needs that the church has. And as we do that, we are able to be one united body of Christ. I want to conclude with this thing that I'm really so glad to be part of. When we started West Center, it was one of the joy to witness the body of Christ in action. Different people with different spiritual giftings, or even various people, even they do not have these gifts, but because they see a need, they step up and to meet the needs of the church. I see how there were young parents who just given birth and they will bring their baby, young, few months old baby, to serve in the ministry. Not taking a step back, saying that, hey, maybe I will wait for my kids to grow up. I'll wait for a season in my life that's easier, but they brought their kid along. I see them putting their baby on their carrier and just going around and serving in the ministry. I see parents serving in the registration counter where they push their pram, park their pram, get their kids, come to church early, get their kids settled down, and then they'll get other parents to check in while the kids sleep. When the kids cry, they'll carry them up and continue on the work. It's so encouraging to see that. There was once that I remember seeing in our church, because every weekend we have to tear down and set up the various things in the center. So there's this team called the environment team, which is in charge of putting things up and tearing things down. So this team is made up of two ladies and one young man, right? And there was this weekend I saw two ladies carrying big boxes on the trolley and just tearing things down. And then, you know, two small ladies bring big boxes around. And I say, hey, where are the men? Where are the guys doing the work? And I remember going up to the center and tell them, hey, we need people in this ministry. And right after that, there were some brothers who signed up for the ministry and they're serving in this environment team. And it's so amazing. It's so beautiful to see the body of Christ functioning together. That is the vision of the church. That is a picture of what it means for the church to be the body of Christ. That everyone living interdependently of one another, doing life together, knowing what our gifts are and using our gifts to the fullest potential to meet one another's need, to serve in various ministry, to just see the kingdom of God move forward. And that is the picture of what it means for the body to serve God together. And I truly believe that if our church, if everyone who is watching on this screen, if everyone in every life group, in every centers, you are using your gift fully, I truly believe that our church can fulfill the greatest potential that God has for our church. Every ministry can be met. Every people group can be reached. The church can fulfill the greatest potential that it can ever has if every one of us step up and do what God has called you to do, to serve Him, to contribute to the church. Every one of us can play our part. I want to give you some time to respond to the Word of God. Then now that you learn and know that what it means for the church to be a body of Christ, it is time for everyone to step up, to use our spiritual gifts, to know what are they, and to serve in them, to see the needs, and to meet the needs. Maybe some of us here, there might be some hindrance that you have in stepping up to contribute to the church. Maybe some of you think that, hey, I don't have time. Maybe some of you think that I am inadequate. I do not have what it needs. You know, I look at all this ministry. I'm not sure whether I can really do these things. Maybe some of you feel that you are too busy. You are not in the right season for whatever reason it is. I want to strongly encourage you to take the step of faith, to come to God and say, God, I want to serve. I want to contribute. And I want to trust in you that whatever issues I'm handling right now, can you help me through them? And as I take that step of faith to trust you, to meet the needs of other people, to meet the needs of the ministry. God, you will meet my needs. You will expand my time, my capacity, and what I'm going through, I will depend on you and draw closer to you. I pray you'll make this prayer today. Shall we all bow our heads and just respond to God together? Hallelujah. So those of us, you know who you are. I know that many of you, you are already serving in various ministry. There are various points in the sermon that you are responding to. But this particular group that I really want to minister to, which you know you're not serving actively in a ministry, in your life group, in making disciples, and just doing God's work. You're taking a more chill approach and just doing your own things, and church is just another part of your life. I want to encourage you to step up and play your part as the body. That you need the body and the body needs you. God has gifted you to serve. Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters. You know who are they. That right now, as we look to you, as we bring our needs to you, as we bring our reasons, and some of them could be excuses. And God, we come before you. And we say, God, I want to serve you. I want to be involved in the kingdom. I want to be involved in the church to see the church reaching its fullest potential. Whatever challenges I'm facing right now, help me to overcome them. Help me to trust in you, to depend on you more. And you can expand my capacity and you can expand my time, increase my time so that I can serve you more. I can make a choice and this decision to depend on you, to serve you more, to give more of myself to you, O God. And today, right now, as you respond, come and work in our hearts. We want to be willing to step up to serve you and the church, to see the church and the body of Christ in action, O God. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the vision. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to every one of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We want to pray for all the life groups that we have. And just as I mentioned, I think that there are several challenges that some of our life groups might be facing, especially with this online church, and there are certain good habits or certain bad habits that has been happening in our life groups. And I want to pray that our life groups will really function as the church. That's how God has designed it to be. Don't be passive. Don't just go through programs and events and Zoom sessions, but really be involved in each and every one life. That every life group can be an effective body of Christ that function to its fullest potential. So let's pray for our life groups together. Let's pray for the life groups that we're in, and let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, we want to pray for every life group, oh God, in our church, that in this season, every life group will continue to stay strong, to stay close to you, and to stay close to one another, oh God. Lord, I pray that in this season, every life group will not forget that they are a body of Christ. They are a family, they are a body, and together we need to be connected to each other. We need to serve you together. We need to serve each other together, and we need each other, oh God. And I pray that in this season, that those of us who are feeling isolated, those of us who are feeling a bit more disconnected, I pray that the life groups will go out and connect back some of these people, that everyone will begin to be more connected back into the body. No one is to be a disconnected body part, and everyone can begin to serve one another and see that they need each other for us to live life to the fullest in you, O God. Help us, O God. Make every life group to be strong in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some of you here, you don't have a relationship with God yet. And I want to let you know that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And our Heavenly Father, God has sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins so that you can have a relationship with Him, so that you can know His love for your life. And today, I want to give you this opportunity to come back to God. I want to give you this opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to let Jesus come to your life, to be the Savior of your life, to be the Lord of your life. So today, if this is your desire, Why don't you make this prayer together with me? Why don't you say this prayer and mean in our hearts and invite Jesus into your life for the very first time? Shall we all pray together? Just repeat together after me, church. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody can say, Amen.